I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. Well, it is really good to be able to gather together today in person to celebrate and to give thanks to God for the work and ministry of all the people being invested into the order of the Diocese of New Westminster. The last time we did that, at least gathering all together, was in 2018. That seems like an awfully long time ago. I am so grateful that we can come together today. It is really good to be here. There are a number of studies recently published stating that watching the news can negatively impact your mental health. Perhaps you have read this, or maybe you experienced this yourself. Now, I don't want to simplify this too much, as our mental health is a lot more complicated than whether we watch the 6 o'clock news or not. But for many of us, just watching a few minutes of that program can increase our anxiety or can trigger persisting negative emotions or really can leave us simply feeling very much ill at ease. And these days, there are many things that are drawing our attention related to the news. Again, not wanting to cause too much distress, but there are a lot of things most of us can think of that are affecting us far more than the news story itself. The climate emergency and the changing climate affecting flooding and fires and storms. Ongoing frustration with the response to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. A long-term feeling of languishing related to the pandemic. The war in Ukraine, famine in the Horn of Africa, the treatment of women in Iran, refugees by the millions, gang violence, drug overdoses. This only names a few. And I know that I'm only scratching the surface, but it's not hard to see why there is a greater level of anxiety. Jesus stood before a large crowd of people, and I can't help but think that he noticed their anxiety, their confusion, their wonderings about God in this world. And Jesus said to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you." And he concluded by saying, "Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do to others as you would have them do to you." And the thing is, I think he meant it. Not just words written on a page or put on a tea towel or cross-stitched and hung on the wall. No, these were words meant to affect our view of the world and God's place in it, and our own. Not that long ago, I attended the Lambeth Conference in Canterbury, England. This is a conference for all the bishops of the worldwide Anglican Church, the Anglican Communion. It's supposed to take place every 10 years, but because of our internal disagreements and then COVID, we met 14 years after the previous one. Now, a gathering of about 650 bishops and their spouses is a complicated thing, to say the least. There may even be other words that you might want to use to describe it. But the planning and the coordination took years to bring together. What could be so important for all of us to meet and to talk about? What if we could not agree, or even to agree to disagree? What was supposed to come of our gathering that might bring light and life and hope to our churches in Uganda or Israel or Fiji or El Salvador or here in Canada? Well, this gathering became something different from past ones. There were still various voices with a variety of valid and even troubling concerns of events taking place in the countries of the Communion. But at this Lambeth, there was no attempt to try to make official statements or set out narrow theological boundaries or even claim that we are all on the same page when it came to justice or social issues around the world. Something different became the aim. Calls for Lambeth, they were called. Calls, not statements or pronouncements or divisive expectations. Calls, because we were not voting on them, but merely discussing them and affirming them in principle or not. And so, recognizing perspectives from every corner of the globe and very different life situations, we discussed mission and evangelism, reconciliation, safe church, the environment and sustainable development, Christian unity, interfaith relations, Anglican identity, human dignity, and discipleship. You will be delighted to know that I will not give you a descriptor of each one. But as I thought about it, each of these was really about how we aim to live out the Beatitudes of Jesus in the world of today. They are about trying to break down even more of what it means to live the gospel of Jesus Christ in this time and the world of our day. What it means that the poor are blessed. What it means to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, to offer our coat and our shirt, to do to others as we would have them do to us. They were asking, how do we bring together science and our faith in this rapidly changing, technologically advanced world? How do we live out respecting the dignity of every human being, or reconciliation and safe church practices, doing to others as we would have them do to us? How do we work toward evangelism and discipleship and Christian unity in ways that reveal the teachings of Jesus, centered upon the love and grace of God? Because we need to. Yes, we will fail. We will stumble. We will hesitate. But we continue to focus on living into them. This is a complicated world. The stories on the news remind us of that each and every day. How does our faith inform how we live in response? How are we to respond without quickly getting overwhelmed? Where do we discover God in the very midst of all that might trouble and disturb us? Well, today we are honoring All Saints' Day. And it seems to me that saints are people who have wrestled with all of this quite intentionally. They have not resolved it all, but have wrestled and come to see that God needs our actions, not just for us to memorize the words. Saint Mother Teresa offered many thoughts that make sense to consider on this day. Let me share just a few with you. She said, "If you judge people, you have no time to love them." She said, "Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love." She said, "The most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved." She said, "A life not lived for others is not a life." Today in our diocese, we are honoring people who know St. Teresa's words well. They have responded to the call to live out the gospel, the good news, the Beatitudes, the Lambeth calls, the doing to others as we would have them do to us. They were not wanting the spotlight, but merely wanting to get on with the work of loving one another, but did it in the small responsibilities, the hidden chores that might not set the world on fire, but do change perspectives of what is most important. These people are involved with all sorts of activities that paint a very different picture of the world than is sometimes portrayed on the news. They have offered themselves in ways that remind us of God's love and God's grace. We will hear in a little while about these diocesan saints who have been treasurers and Sunday school teachers, Christmas pageant organizers, meal providers, wardens, parish librarians, trustees, synod delegates, bread bakers, choir members, gardeners, altar guild members, refugee sponsors, pastoral care visitors, drivers, outreach committee members, stewards of time and talent, environmental stewards, photographers, reconciliation animators, anti-racism workers, housing and homelessness advocates, PWRDF volunteers, to name but a few. The world needs people like these. People who are making a difference. The church needs people like these. People who see their actions not about themselves, but about blessing people beyond themselves. We need people like these so that we can see that saints are not simply people who are etched in glass or have churches named after them. Saints are those people who help us to see that the Holy Spirit is alive and well in this world and is inviting us to respect the dignity of every human being as we do to others, as we would have them do to us. Thank you to all those receiving the Order of New Westminster today. Let's quickly look around. And those who received it in 2020 with a little less fanfare. Thank you for your ministry. And thank you for saying yes to a vision of God's world that is filled with a lot more love than we might see on the nightly news.